You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The web series Baby Mamas Club was officially released yesterday on TVNZ On Demand. It follows three young women of Māori and Pacifica descent who are all strangers but come together when they realise they are all connected in some way to an individual named Johnny. Now, I know we are on the radio and this would be better if you could see it, but I thought I would play the trailer anyway so we can get a feel of the show.
How can I help you guys?
We're looking for someone.
Johnny. His name is Johnny.
Yeah, he's someone, 6'4".
No, he's not. 6'5".
Hi, my name's Sophia Folau. A couple of weeks ago, I found out I was pregnant, and I haven't heard from my boyfriend Johnny ever since.
F*** my life!
One night, I received a message from a woman named Shan. She owns a club, and Johnny owes her a shitload of money.
How much are we talking?
About 50k.
That's when she introduced me to Kofi and Malia, Johnny's baby mamas.
Don't f*** with me, oh.
Turns out we're all looking for him, and although we can't stand each other...
He's a little homewrecker.
I'm stuck in the middle of nowhere with a bunch of fobs.
Listen here, Beth Hickey, I'm not your friend, okay?
What's this smell?
Dale's fine. Besides, pussy don't taste that bad.
We all have our reasons for wanting to find Johnny.
I don't care if I have to burn the whole city down. I want my money back.
Mano la patina.
Mano? Can I help you?
She keeps on asking for her dad.
He played us both.
So what are we going to do?
Just get him.
He knows.
You ladies like road trips?
Hey, fool face! Yeah, you're lucky I can't run. Otherwise, yeah, chop your legs off. Yeah.
Oh, steady on.
Earlier in the year, messages on Facebook went viral when these women started looking for Johnny, who had disappeared. It soon became clear the seemingly real situation was in fact the premise of a show. The campaign garnered a huge following for the show, and this secured the funding from New Zealand On Air following the release of the pilot. I spoke with Hanel Harris, the director, and Mia Marama Henry, the producer of the show, about the political messages of representation that the show discusses, and started by asking who the different characters were.
So we've got four very different personalities, and I think that was almost inspired by my obsession with like girl groups as a kid, you know, like the Spice Girls, or, you know, there's kind of someone to relate to for everyone. So I know like visually that inspired me really early on. But yes, so there's four very different girls, and we try to really mix up the ethnicities as well, because we wanted to try and represent as much as possible the subculture of Māori Polynesian women. So you have like Sophia, who's our protagonist, and she's an upper class Afakasi Tongan woman who's just found out she's pregnant. She's also Johnny's current girlfriend. You've got Malia, who, I mean, we never really like to talk about lower socioeconomic standing in the show, just because we feel like that's been done for the last 20 years. So I wouldn't say that Malia comes from any specific place in Auckland, but she's definitely, I think, very relative to a lot of suburbs Samoan girls, and she's pretty tough on the outside, but on the inside she's probably, you know, she's the woman scorned, she's the one Johnny has lied to the most about everything, and there's a lot of hurt there, so she's probably one of the most interesting characters, I think, of the four. And then you've got Kofi, who is, you know, was the high school sweetheart of Johnny. She's an aspiring singer. And we really explore what it is to be a solo mother, and trying to juggle your aspirations as an artist and also you know, dating or like sexuality as a young mum, and the negative connotations from society that come with that. But Kōwhai's just really loving, really sweet, real open, but she's fully flawed. And then you have Shan, who, I mean, she serves as the catalyst of the show, really. She's the one that's brought all these women together. Johnny owes her a lot of money. You know, she's a very tough kind of businesswoman, you know, succeeds in a masculine-driven world. But she is ultimately kind of the mother hen of the girls, and any time that stuff goes wrong or they don't know what to do, it's always her that, you know, is kind of leading the group. So, yeah, that's kind of the dynamic.
You mentioned that that sort of negative representation has been done for 20 years. I'm assuming you mean in regards to Māori and Pacific representation. Can you explain that a bit more?
Yeah, so I mean, one thing I was really conscious of when creating the characters was I did not want to show poverty on screen within the Māori Polynesian context. You know, Kōwhai, for example, she lives in what looks to be like a K Road flat, but, you know, but it's very eclectic and knick-knacky, and she even dresses quite op shop. She drives like a banged up red V-dub, but we're never, you know, really going, oh my gosh, she's so poor, or, you know, like this kind of state house feel. Like, I didn't want any of that lower socioeconomic conversation to play within the show. Just because the whole, well, one of the biggest goals is to integrate Māori and Polynesians, like everyday Māori and Polynesians, into mainstream perception so that they can then end up in mainstream media.
In terms of producing the show and getting it made, you guys started this campaign a long time ago with quite a awesomely done campaign where you made this sort of real life plea to find Johnny, and it kind of went viral. Where did that idea come from?
I think that it was important for us to try and find a way to get into a really saturated environment, because we always knew we were going to be making a web series and there was so much content online. There was this sort of whittle from New Zealand On Air to prove that you had an audience in order to receive funding for your production. And so we were thinking about what would make something viral, and in that process we had our team go through and, you know, trawl the internet, see what other campaigns had worked, and we found something similar. So we thought, hey, that could probably apply to our particular project. And it was all an experiment at the time, you know, we didn't really know if it would work or not, and then it sort of skyrocketed, which gave us a sense of confidence in applying the same approach to the rest of the project.
Because you gained quite a following, right? And it's been a few months since that first pilot episode and now the release of the full series. Have you managed to kind of keep that following? What's the feel now that it's been released?
Yeah, I definitely think that the original following has come back. You know, I think as soon as we'd uploaded videos, people were watching it, and that was at like 4 a.m. in the morning, and we're like, why is everyone like awake right now? They need to go to sleep. But obviously they'd gotten like notifications on YouTube. So they've been amazing. Like, our audience has been amazing. I think we're actually expanding, if anything, and we're starting to, with the partnership of TVNZ now with the rest of the series, I think we're starting to branch out into people beyond our targeted audience. And that's great because, yes, it's about brown women, but actually it's their stories about humans, and you don't have to be brown or a woman to actually understand those characters and their struggles, because there's something in there literally for everyone. So, you know, it's not an exclusive story. I think this is going to start to kind of spread outside of our communities, which is great because it's going to help, you know, society really start to understand what it is we continually have to fight on a day-to-day basis as brown women and as young mothers.
I want to mention too, the beginning of each episode has the broadcasting warning, right, in terms of whatever content is in that episode. But each episode, it's done in a different language, and English is actually saved to last. What was the kind of editorial decision behind that?
Well, you know, in an ideal world, we would have had native speakers, but it was like an idea that I'd had a while back, and then when we were right in the throes of locking, I was like, oh no, I do actually still want to do that, but that's really hard to do because I don't know how we're going to find, like, you know, seven different people. So myself and one of the other actresses, we got the translations, we got them recorded, we got the phonetics to them, and we did our best. But we actually did have seven Polynesian languages, and the English was a safety because we went back to the people that had given us the translations with the recordings we had, and we're just like, look, because we don't, like, you know, it was all in good intentions to represent as many Polynesian people as possible. And I know being Māori, the last thing you want to do is have that up there and the pronunciation is wrong and then people come at you pronouncing something wrong. And so I think there was just a slight word that was off in our Hawaiian translation, so we went with the English safety. But I think there's something that people are really enjoying. They're like, I love that it's in, you know. I'm like, great, you know, next time we'll actually get native speakers in, and we can do the, maybe we can do some Melanesian cultures, or, you know.
And that's, it was just in order to be representative of the Pacific.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I do understand that us as Māori and Samoans in particular, we do have a certain privilege when it comes to media, because we are, out of any of the other Polynesian people, we get the most representation, we get the most kind of attention, and then you kind of, we do really forget about these smaller nations, you know. Tonga's only just started coming up in the arts, which is why it was really important that we had a Tongan lead actress in our show. But, you know, Tokelau, Niue, you know, the Easter Islands, all of those places, Tahiti, they don't get represented on screen, you know, nearly near as much as we do. And so it was just our way of saying, like, you know, you're a part of us too. And I think you can see that with stuff like, you know, the whole Matimatonga stuff, like a win for one group of brown people is a win for everyone. And that's definitely like something about the show that we really want people to feel a sense of pride, even though there's not a girl, you know, like the Spice Girls, not a girl out there for your culture and the Baby Mamas, like, we still represent you, even though there's only Māori, Samoan and Tongan on screen at the moment. We do hope that we represent you in some way.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.